Well, let's get started then.
Well, just welcome everybody here to our first Bible study. We'll just see what the Lord wants to do in the weeks to come. Let me just tell you a little bit about why we're having this Bible study, I guess. The Lord's been kind of dealing with me for a while about having one in my home, and to be perfectly honest with you, Mary Ann hasn't always been, you know, I mean, this is our private home here, and, you know, to open it up every week, it's not been her, you know, cup of tea in a way.
I didn't think that was a requirement that she had it done.
Good, it isn't.
I have to feel guilty about my own house.
So when the Lord started dealing with me about it, I said, Lord, you know, talk to Mary Ann about this, because, you know, if he really wants to have something here, you know, we always do things as a unit, and we've learned in our marriage that one of the earliest things we learned in our marriage was to get an agreement before you do something, because if we're both born again and we both have the Holy Spirit indwelling our spirit, we can fully expect that when the Lord directs us to do something, he will tell us both the same thing to do. He won't tell her one thing to do and me to tell something else, because he's not a schizophrenic Holy Spirit. He is one personality. He works the same in both of us. And so I just said, Lord, you know, make her agreeable if this is something you want to do. What, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, she came into me and she says, Mike, I got it. And Mary Ann isn't one of these people that say things lightly about the Lord said. She says, I'd be disobedient to the Lord if I didn't tell you that the Lord said we need to open up our home for Bible study. So I heard that. I thought, well, praise God, because that's what, you know, he's been dealing with me about, but I've learned with the Lord not to hard charge out here and say, Mary Ann, this is what we're doing, this is what God's telling me to do, and, you know, and if you're not in the program, you're, you know, out to lunch or something like that. The purpose of the teaching, the Lord just gave me this morning in my quiet time, and that is, over the next, I don't know how long, however long the Lord wants to do it, is to show my people how to enter in to the flow of God. Mm-hmm. He showed me this morning, I was reading the Bible, and it had nothing to do with the lesson. I already had the lesson pretty well settled, I thought, in my heart. But he basically said this to me, and it's at the end of your outline, because I already had the outline done, I just put it in there. He said, so many struggle in the eddies of life when they could be drifting in the flow of God. Mm-hmm. And that means just coasting along with God. There's not as much effort. And, you know, I could just see this eddy. You know, an eddy is something that is a river flows down the stream and it hits an obstruction. It kind of has a little whirlpool on one side. And if you look at a piece of bark or something floating around in that eddy, it just keeps going in circles and just keeps going in circles and keeps going in circles. Meanwhile, something that doesn't get caught just keeps going downstream. It's so easy. It doesn't have to do anything. It just floats with the thing. And so the Lord has never spoken to me like that before, but I never saw it that way. That so many struggle in the eddies of life when they could be drifting in the flow of God. So what we're going to do in the next several weeks, until the Lord says cease, or, you know, maybe a very long time, I don't know, but is to show my people how they can enter in to the flow of God for their lives. And that's called success. You know, success in the world, I mean, is prosperity, it's getting that promotion, and that might be part of it. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's more than that with God. Basically, success is fulfilling God's will for your life. And you can't do that without entering into the flow of God. And so we're going to talk about this and how to do this. Now, I don't propose to sit here and tell you I know all about this. I don't. But what the Lord has promised me, that in the next several weeks, he's going to teach me, and then he's going to give me something to share with you. And so if we'll just do what he says to do, this is what he's told me in my heart, and I know it in my heart. If we will listen to what he says in his word to do, God will change your life. In fact, this is something else that came to me. If you will hang with what we're going to talk about, you know, just don't hear it and give up on it, but if we'll stick with it for 6 months to a year, you will not know yourselves after that time. Not because I'm going to do anything, but because God's word will work in your hearts. And he's going to show us together how to move into these wonderful things of the Lord. Now, tonight we're going to start off. Tonight we're going to talk about the thing you need to know first. if you're going to enter into the promises of God and into God, the flow of God in your life. This is the first thing you need to know. This, what we're going to talk about tonight will open the door to the rest of the things. This is absolutely crucial, what we're talking about tonight. That's why we're going to talk about it first. Without this, nothing spiritually will work in your life. It's that simple. So this, you know, and I can say this. I can sit here before we even talk about this tonight and tell you that this is going to, it'll change your life. If you'll go out of here already tonight a different person if you will listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say in His Word about the things that we're going to talk about. So let's just enter into it. I'll title this thing, The Key to Success. And success we're defining as fulfilling God's will for your life, or entering into the flow of God. And the key to success is doing things God's way. Now everybody says, oh, well, great. You know, I mean, now how do I know what God? I've been struggling my whole life to figure out what God's way is. I've been asking Him that question for years. You're going to find out tonight what God's way is and how to enter into it tomorrow if you want to. That's how definite and how useful this is going to be, what you're going to hear tonight. So open the Bible tonight. The Bible is going to be our handbook in this, for all of our lessons, of course, to Joshua chapter 1. Now, I was a brand new Christian. I hadn't been a Christian for more than probably a month. When the Lord showed me this verse, I was just reading the Bible and spoke to my spirit through this verse and said, this is a key to your life. This is a key to anyone's life if they will just do what this verse says. And we're going to cover some other verses. It doesn't just say it here. Now, let's set the stage here. What we have is a situation where Moses was leading the Israelites from Egypt across the Sinai Desert and supposedly into the Promised Land. That's where God wanted them to go. But they didn't get there, did they? Because we know what happened. They sent the spies out. The spies gave a negative report, and they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. Well, after the 40 years, Moses died, and God picked a new leader for His children, for the children of Israel. And his name was Joshua. Now, this is what He said to the Joshua right after He told Joshua that He was going to be the new leader. He said in verse 2 of chapter 1, he said this. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land, listen to this, which I do give unto them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. And he goes on to tell him where that is. Now let's jump down to verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people you shall divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Now the law then was the first five books of the Bible. That was all that was written at that time. For us, the law is the Word of God, the total Word of God. Turn not from it to the right or to the left. Now listen, why? That you may prosper in whatever, wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Listen to why. That you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. Now listen, what happens if you do this? For then, and really only then, shall you make your way prosperous and have good success. The Amplified Version here says, deal wisely in the affairs of life. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. Now, friends, in these few verses in Joshua chapter 1 are the key to success in your life. It tells you exactly how to do it. Exactly how to do it. And what he's saying there, first of all, he tells Joshua, be strong and very courageous. And we're going to find out why in a minute. But what he basically says to do is to get into the Word of God, find out what it says, and then what? What's the key thing after you find out what it says? Do it. See, that's the missing ingredient in most of our lives. I'll just say that flat out. It's in my life, this is the thing that I had to work on the most. we don't really lack so much, most of us. You know, maybe occasionally we don't get the good teaching we could get or something like that. But basically, we're hearing the Word of God. We're making an effort to get into the Bible, to listen to the Bible, to hear what it has to say. But the thing that's holding most of us back from moving on with the flow of God in our lives is the fact that once we hear what it says, we forget to do it God's way. And that's why he said to Joshua, I want you to be strong and very courageous. Because do you know what? It takes courage. It takes strength to do what God's word says to do sometimes. Because sometimes it's not going to make a lot of sense to other people. You know, I mean, just give you an example. Let's say you're having a financial problem. And you want to improve your financial situation. Well, you know, you think, well, I need to be a good Christian. I need to go to church. I need to read the Bible and all that kind of thing. And that's good and that's important. But what does the Word of God say about finances? It says, among other things, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto you. For this, with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. That's Luke 6:38. Another place, it says in Malachi 3:10, if you're a tither, I, God, promise to open the windows of heaven and pour out upon you such a blessing you won't have room to receive it. Now, okay, so there's a promise. Now, what there's every time you get in the Bible, it seems like there's a Godward part and there's a manward part to everything. God's part is to make these things happen in our life. Our part is to do what God's word says to do. And that's all he's saying to Joshua here. He's saying, Joshua, be strong. He said, I have already given you this. And see, in God's eyes, he's already given us certain things. In God's eyes, he's already given the world salvation. You say, well, some aren't saved. He's given salvation. The problem there is people aren't they aren't doing it. They aren't acting upon the word of God that's already been given. See, in God, we have to look at this from God's standpoint. So many times we're sitting back and saying, God, do something, do something. And God's saying, I already have. I want you to act on what I've done. See, you know, finances. Give and should be given unto you. Good measure. Now, there's more to it than that. I'm not saying that's all there is in finances. I mean, we need to walk in love. There's some other things that go along with this. But God, in his word, tells us exactly here, there should be no doubt. This is not, it doesn't take a theologian to understand what God's saying here. He's saying, look, I have given you the Bible. He said, open it up, find out what it says. But don't just find out what it says as an end in itself. You know, so many times, I know I've done this, read the Bible and say, well, I've got my three chapters in today, good for me. You know, nobody can say I didn't read the Bible today. But see, that's not the point. The point of reading the Bible isn't just to read the Bible. The point of reading the Bible is to find out what it says so I can do it and be blessed. That's what God's telling Joshua here. He's saying, look, find out what my word says. Now, then turn not from it to the right or to the left. See, there's going to be a temptation once you find out what God's word says to slough off and go the other way a little bit, because that's what everybody else does. I mean, how many people, when they say, I've got a financial problem, I need to give? How many people say that automatically? Most people say, I've got a financial problem, I need to get more overtime. I've got a financial problem, I need to get a better job. I've got a financial problem, I need to, you know, put my wife to work, whatever. And you know, I'm not saying those things are wrong. I'm just saying God's got a principle here. And it's called a principle of sowing and reaping. Now, this is just one example. There's many things in life that come up against us. You know, God tells you exactly how to have peace. He tells you exactly how to have a good marriage. He tells you exactly how to pray for your children and to hold them up in prayer and all of these things. Now, they make their own decisions, and you've got to, you know, hang in there with them sometimes. But God tells you in his word exactly how to do these things. And when you apply these things just the way his word says, something happens. God is either going to be caught in a lie or it's going to come to pass for you. You need to see it just that simply. See, so many times we look at the Bible as, well, that's interesting, and it sure seems to work for some people. I don't know, it doesn't seem to work for me. Just go on. And don't. I like to stop and say, wait a minute here, you know. God is saying something here. Now, if he says this thing, you know, here's what happened with me. I got saved. And when I got saved, you know, after the first 11 years of our marriage, I wasn't saved. I've been saved now for about 26 or 7 years. And it's been a different marriage since then. I mean, it's been entirely different. God changed me. And I thought, And then I got to the Bible after I got saved, and it said, whoa, what do you know? It says here in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new, and all things are of God in my spirit. I said, that happened to me. And then this wild thought came into my mind. If that's true, and it sure changed my life, how about the rest of it? Maybe, just maybe, if I get in this Bible, find out what it says, and start to do it, just like I did getting saved, that'll work too. And you know what I found out? It does. It's worked for every time. Now this is what really I want to share with you tonight. How to get God's flow going in your life. So you've got to see the Bible as, it's so simple. The Bible is very simple, and there's a very simple concept involved here. And the concept is this: God's Word says certain things. And God is not a liar. And if you find out what His Word says, rightly divide it, and do your part, then God is honor-bound by His Word to do His part in your life.
Amen.
See it just that way, and it's that simple. And it will work in your life. It's worked in my life. I can tell you not only theoretically, theoretically is what the Bible has to say. That's the theory. The experience and the practicality, I can tell you, Mary Ann's sitting right here beside me, it works. Every time it works, if we will work it the way it was meant to be worked. Now, the times that didn't apparently work in my life, what do we do about that? Does that mean God lied? No. It simply means that I didn't either rightly divide the Word, know what it really said, or didn't apply it correctly. But you know what I do when that happens? Just like you'd do with anything else, I find out where I went wrong. Because, you know, you got to get this established. First of all, God's Word is true. If you get that down in your heart, then when something apparently is not working, you can stop right there and say, Father, somewhere I've missed it. Now, I thought this is what Your Word said right here. If I did this, You're going to do this. But Father, that never happened. You know, I mean, I don't mean you don't do that the next day if it hasn't come to pass. But, you know, if a couple of years have come and gone, you may as well. Or if it's a healing situation and it's been, you know, enough time to know that you're missing it somewhere, you know, then stop and ask God. Say, Lord, you know, where did I miss it? Because we're the ones that missed it, not God. And I tell you what, every time I've ever done that, God has shown me, and He loves me, He loves you, very gently, where I missed it. And I fix up that end of it, patch it up. Next time I won't make that mistake, you know. Most times in my own life, you know where it's been I missed it, when I didn't get something I thought? Getting out of love. In other words, what I'm saying, getting in a snit with somebody. Getting an unforgiveness. That will block, you know, faith worketh by love. You know, Galatians 5:6 says that. Faith works by love. That means faith is energized. Your faith is energized by walking in love. If we're out of love, if we're out of fellowship with somebody, our faith is weak. It won't work. And I'm not just putting anything on anybody else. I'm saying that's where it's been most of the time when something didn't happen. And God has lovingly shown me, He's not condemning, not saying, Mike, you idiot, you blew it again, didn't you? No. Son, this is where you missed it. This is what you need to fix up. Now, how does He speak to me? No. Just read the Bible. See, that's another thing the Bible will do. It will show you. It's a mirror to your life. That's what James 1:21 through 25 says. The Word of God is a mirror. As you read the Word of God, it will reflect your life back at you and show you things about yourself. Okay? And so that's the neat thing about the Bible. And the thing that you need to do, though, is to approach the Bible as the last word. This is it. And train yourself so that when the emergencies of life come, now you can train yourself to do this, and it won't happen overnight. And I'm not there. But I know I'm working on it, okay? And it's this. When something comes up in your life, when an emergency arises, the first thing that comes to your mind is, what does the Word say? What does the Word say? And apply that, and God will get you out of the situation. Well, that's all this is saying here. Turn not from my word to the right hand or the left, so that you can prosper wherever you go. Now, he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. Now, see, meditation in the Word of God is different than just reading it quickly. Meditation means, it doesn't mean you have to take every verse you ever read and just, you know, spend an hour on it. But as you read the Word of God, there will be times when something will just, boy, that sure hits home. When that happens, stop. Don't read the next verse. Don't just get that chapter done because you got to get your chapter done. That's the Holy Spirit trying to speak to you. Stop and meditate on that verse, because that's God trying to show you something about your life right now. And what you need to do is what it says right here. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein. The word meditate, the Hebrew word, has the meaning to mutter or to murmur. In other words, what he's saying is, when you come to that, just murmur the word to yourself. What does it say? It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but I should, this is me, Mike Fitzpatrick, my job here is to meditate in it day and night. And the reason I need to do that is so I can do what it says. Then, he says, he will make Mike Fitzpatrick's way prosperous, and Mike shall have good success. I might spend an hour on that. I might spend a day on that. I might spend a week on that, if it's ministering to my spirit, till it gets down in my heart to the point where I know that if I'll just do God's word here, you know, it'll all work out. That's how faith comes. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. All right. So he's telling us here then that to succeed in life, to be a success, what we need to do is to get into the handbook of life, which is the word of God, find out what it says, and then most importantly, do it. Be a doer of the word. Now, I've shared this in our Sunday school class, and most of you have heard this maybe at one time or another, but it bears repeating, because this is the way God taught me about this. One time, I was sitting at my desk at my noon hour at my job before I had my own business, and I was talking to God, and I said, Lord, you know, I can see how important your word is. I said, you know, but I've got this job, and I've got kids, and I've got a wife, and all these things I need to be involved with. I said, somehow, arrange my day so I can have more time to read your Bible, to read the Word. You know what the Lord said? Really flabbergasted me. Flabbergasted is an old word that means he surprised me. Yeah. He said to me, you're reading the Word enough. That surprised me. He said this, you can only read my Word so many hours a day, but you can do my word 24 hours a day. And the Lord showed me through that reading the word was not an end in itself. It was a means to an end, a means to the end of doing it. And I just challenged the Lord. I said, okay, Lord, how can I do the word right now? I'm sitting here at my desk. I thought, I'll just, you know, challenge the Lord. How can I do the word right now? And he says, to work unto God is not unto men. And I found out it was in the Bible. In other words, to work as unto me. In other words, he says, don't be a man pleaser with eye service. That's King James for me. Every time that the boss comes by, you work a little harder. He says, you wouldn't do that. If you're working for me, you work the same way all the time. You work good. You give the man an honest 8 hours work for 8 hours pay. That's working as unto the Lord. You can do that right now. You're sitting at your desk. I thought, okay, I can do that. You know, I mean, that was a new thought for me. I was driving home that night thinking about this, and I said again to the Lord, how can I do the word right now? I'm driving in my car. He says, slow down. And he said, in my word, it says, you know, to obey the law of the land. And I was speeding. I mean, you know, these are just little things. I mean, I'm not trying to put a condemnation on anybody, but I'm just saying the Lord was showing me in very practical ways. There's ways you can do the word all the time, throughout the day. Once you learn it, he was showing me, then do it. And he was showing me that you're reading the word enough. Now you begin to apply what you've read. Because, son, I love you and I want to bless you. And I can't unless you do. Now, that's what God's saying right here. He's saying here, he's giving us the key right here. The key to success is to get into the Word of God, meditate on it when you come to those scriptures that begin to speak to you, and then begin to do it in your life. Okay? So, let's see. When he shows you this, you're going to get a chance to do it. I guarantee you, right afterwards, you're going to be tested in this area. I'm not saying God will bring the test, but Satan will bring the test, and he'll try to get you to show you it isn't going to work, because he doesn't want anybody to learn this secret. So, how was Joshua tested? Well, turn to Joshua 6. He was tested right off the bat. And we're talking about this classic case of Joshua going out to capture the city of Jericho. Now, this was a problem. Why? Because Jericho was shut up and walled in. There was no good way to get in there. So the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given thine hand unto thine hand Jericho. This is verse 2. Now, whenever the Lord says, I've given you something, it's yours. But you're going to have to do something to hold on to it. Okay? He's saying, this is something I have. You know, he's saying salvation is yours in the Word of God. He's saying healing is yours in the Word of God. He's saying prosperity is yours in the Word of God. We could find those places if we wanted to. But that doesn't mean that we're just going to sit back and these things are going to automatically fall on us. They're going to be a part we have to play. But God says, as far as I'm concerned, I purchased these things for you when my son went to the cross. Because it says that Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law. Not just sin, but the curse of the law. And if you go back and find out what that curse was, it included more than sin. It included poverty, sickness, and sin. Those three things. So those things, as far as God's concerned, have been given. All right? And so he's saying here, I have given to thine hand Jericho. Now that's God's word on it. Now, is Jericho going to come over and everybody in Jericho going to come running out and saying, okay, I guess we're yours, take us over? No, they're not going to do that. God's saying, I've given it to you. See, that's God's part. And he's telling you, that's the word. Now we have to do the word. See, we found out what the word says. We don't just stop there. That's what we're learning. I've given you the... You know, a lot of people would stop right there, and God would tell them, I'm giving you a good business, Mark. Well, Mark wouldn't just, you know, go home, sit in his house all day, watch soap operas.
Oh, please, no, I have to.
He's going to have to do something, too. And so the next thing to find out is, okay, God said, this thing is mine in the Word of God. This is something I have. This is God's will. Now, what's my part? Well, God tells you, always tells you. And he tells Joshua what his part is here. He says, okay, I've given it to you, but this is what you're going to have to do, Joshua. You're going to have to go out in verse 3, encompass the city, all you men of war, and go around the city once. This shall you do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horn. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass, when they shall make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Just to go over the walls then. No problem. Now, we sit here in year 2002, I've heard that before, huh? I know that happened, and that's the way it happened. Think about it, though. Why? Now you begin to get the idea of why Joshua had to be strong and very courageous. Can you imagine what our reaction would be today, probably, if there were a bunch of, and I just thought about this today, terrorists, say, holed up in the courthouse in Columbia City. And we said, God, what can we do? This is not a good situation. They're shooting out of there with AK-47 rifles. They're lobbing hand grenades into the street. They say they don't come out of there. And we can't get them. What are we going to do? And then God might say, I've given it to you. You're going to succeed in this thing. Okay. Now, would we all just praise the Lord and say it's all taken care of? God's going to drive them out in the street and they're all going to just lay down and hand their guns over to the police? Or what if he said this? All you Christians, I want you to get together and I want you to get all the churches in the area together and I want you to march around that courthouse once every day for 6 days. And I want you to blow this ram's horn as you march around there. And then on the 7th day, I want you to march around it 7 times, blowing the ram's horn. And then at the end of the 7th time around, I want you all to get together and shout, and the whole courthouse will fall down. Now people will just take them over. Now you can begin to see how it's a little tougher to do. Can you imagine the squabbling and the argument? And our denomination doesn't go along with this, you know, that's been done away with the last apostle. That doesn't work anymore.
I mean,
God doesn't do this anymore. Where are we going to get a ram's horn? You know, all this kind of stuff.
I run up and borrow my buddies up in South Beach.
You got one up there?
He blows it every day, every Sunday, 15 cents.
He does. Well, we need him then. Doesn't say anything about weapons here, just ram's horns and praising the Lord. Now, can you imagine the abuse we'd get for that? The paper would have a field day. I mean, we'd have the TV stations down here filming what these idiots are doing, you know? It takes courage, folks, to do what God's Word has to do. And I don't think it took any less courage then for him to go to his own people, and it tells you in the next few verses, he had to go to his priests He's a new guy on the town, okay? Joshua is. He's not been doing this effort every day like Moses had for a long time. This is a new kid on the block. Who?
Matt.
Oh, is it? Okay. So now he's got to tell the other guys what God's told him. See, now it becomes a little different. He's got to get people to go along with this. It's always, as you know from starting a new church, you got to get people to go along with your dreams and what God's told you to do. And so he said unto the people what to do. Well, I'm not going to spend all day on this, but we know what's ahead. They agreed, they did it, and the walls, what? Fell down, didn't they? Fell down flat. Did this really happen, or is this an allegory or kind of a parable showing us what might happen? Huh? It really happened. See, what they did is they fell into God's plan. They did it God's way. See, this is the point of our lesson tonight, is that if you want to prosper, see, Joshua prospered here. The Israelites prospered because they did it God's way. God's way sometimes doesn't make a lot of sense to us. But it is God's way. If God has spoken and says, do it this way, then it will work out. Now, that's just the way with finances sometimes. It doesn't make a lot of sense to us in the natural that if we want to receive financial blessing, we need to give something away. It just sort of saying, wait a minute, I've got $100, and I need $200. So you're telling me to take of the $100 I got, give away $10, I've only got $90, I'm further away from the $200 than I was before. That doesn't make sense. See? It doesn't make sense to our natural way of thinking. But yet, in God's economy, it makes perfect sense. Because the law of sowing and reaping works that way. It works for the farmer that way all the time. He takes a few kernels of corn, he puts them in the ground, and first thing you know, there's corn growing up, and he's got all kinds of ear, and probably in 50 stalks of corn, or maybe a couple hundred stalks of corn out of 50,000 in the field, he gets back his whole, what he put in the ground. See, that's, now we understand that because we never thought too deeply about it, but we see it every day, so it doesn't seem peculiar to us. But when we talk about finances, my George, you know, I'm going to have to give away $10 before I'm going to, you know, it doesn't really make sense. I'd rather work the overtime. It makes more sense to me. And that's okay, but God's got a plan too. And when you put God's plan into work, then you move in the flow of God, and you're not just swimming around in this eddy like we were talking about. See, the whole thing here I'm trying to get across tonight is that we need to get into the Word of God, find out what it says, and then start doing it. That's the key to success, okay? And I didn't read this whole thing, but you know that the walls fell down. Didn't make a lot of sense. I mean, you know, this sounds pretty foolish. Don't you think God could have just knocked the walls down? He could have. Or he could have said, why don't you create a trick situation where you pretend like you're leaving, you know, and they're all going to come out after a while, and then you'll have a group of people hidden behind them that will come in and after they open the gates. I mean, that would make some more sense to me. It'd be more like normal military maneuvers or something. I mean, very seldom have you ever heard of another military body doing anything like this. I think God made it this way to teach them something. To teach them that, first of all, that if you do things God's way, things will work out. And to teach them also, when I say I've given you something, it's going to be yours on the condition that you do what I tell you to do to get it. And do it just the way I said. So, you know, this is what God told Joshua. Now turn to Luke chapter 6. Let's see what God told his disciples, what Jesus told his disciples. Verse 47, let's read that. Jesus said this, "Whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings," or hears what I have to say, "and does them," there we are again, hearing and doing. See, hearing is not enough. Just reading the Bible is not enough. "But doing them, I will show you what he's like." Now listen to this. This man that hears what Jesus says, or hears what the Word of God says and does it, is like this. He's like a man which built a house, and he digged deep, and he laid the foundation of the house on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat violently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on a rock. Now listen to this. "But he that hears and does not, is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat violently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now, I have a question for you. What is the house in this parable? Anybody hazard a guess on the? Well, what is the stream beating against in life? What does the stream of, what are the problems of life come against? Us, right? People. We're the house, folks. What he's here, what he's talking about is what happens in life when the problems of life come along. And they come to all of us. But you know, the difference is, even though the problems of life come to all of us, there'll be a difference in the outcome depending upon which one of these two people we're like. See, it doesn't mean that if we're Christians necessarily that things won't, bad won't, Satan will leave us alone, right? He'll still try stuff, okay? But what Jesus is telling us here is a very, very, very important principle. And he's saying this, look, when the problems and the streams and the storms of life come, there's one kind of person that's going to stand and succeed. There's another type of person that won't. He didn't say one's a Christian. He didn't say one was a non-believer. He just said two people. He's talking about two different people here. And he's saying both of them went to church all the time. Both of them heard the Word of God. Both of them went to faith conferences, learned all they could about the Word, but only one of the two guys did what it said. That's what he's saying here. That was the, you look for the difference between the two. And everything else is the same. There's the house in both cases. There was a stream coming against the house, beating against it in both cases. You look for what's different. Well, why did one stand and one didn't? Because one guy did the Word of God, and another guy didn't do the Word of God. And God is saying to us here tonight, in this room in my house, he's saying to us tonight that you're all going to have problems in this life. And I love you all very much. And I want you to overcome, be an overcomer. And I want you to come through these things successfully. And I want you to come through them victoriously. And here's how you do it, folks. That's what God's saying to you tonight. He's saying the way to do it is to find out what my word says about your problem and then do what it says. And then I'll get involved and you'll be in the flow of God and you'll overcome that situation. But even though you're Christian, even though I love you very much, if that problem comes and you don't approach it from a scriptural point of view, if you don't find out what my word says and do it, then there's not going to be any difference in the result of that problem on you than it would be for any Joe Blow who's not a Christian or anything else, because it's not going to do you any good. Yes, you'll go to heaven when you die, and that's wonderful, and that's good, and I love you very much, but as far as helping you with this problem that's facing you right now, I'm sorry, I can't help you. You're just circling in that eddy because you're trying to do it your way, just the same way the world does these things, but I have a better plan for you. If you get involved in that plan, if you do it my way, you get in my flow, then that problem won't overcome you. That's what he's saying here. See, these things in here are more than just words that Jesus said to a few people back then. These things are words in our lives for us right now, today, July 18, year 2002, at 8:17 p.m., will work just the same way. Now, this is what God's put in my heart to tell myself and to tell you tonight, and that is that the key to success is becoming a doer of the Word of God. Because when you get involved in that, doing God's Word, you do an interesting thing. You place God's Word between yourself and the problem. You place God's Word between yourself and Satan. And what did Jesus do when he was tempted in the desert? He placed God's Word between himself and the enemy. He said, Satan, it is written. See, that's what you do. You did, by doing the Word of God, by quoting the Word of God back to the devil when necessary, you're putting yourself in a position to get into the flow of God and to get through this thing. Now, I wish I could just, sometimes I wish I could just kind of open up everybody's head and just gently lay this in there so it would just work immediately. But it's going to have to go around a little bit and go around a little bit and go around a little bit. And that's why I like to hand out these outlines. So you can take these things home and go over it yourself. Meditate on these things so it clunks down in your heart. You know, this works, folks. This is the most exciting life there is to be a Christian. when you approach it this way. Because you place yourself in the glory of God when you place yourself in what His Word says. Because God, listen, God will never, ever be caught in a lie. There's never a case when God is up in heaven slapping His head going, oh man, we missed that one, Jesus. We, you know, somebody down there just did the Word and doggone it, we'll get him next time, you know. That doesn't happen with the Lord. It says in Jeremiah 1:12, He watches over His Word to perform it. Okay? God is conscious of everyone in this room. When they do His Word, all heaven sits up and takes notice. Somebody's doing your Word, Father. I see it. I'm waiting. Once they complete the doing of that Word, I'm going to get involved in their life, and they're in the flow of God, and I'm going to bless their socks off because they're doing it my way. Now, here's another thing I had to learn. I thought, well, this is just a reward God gives you for getting in His Word and doing it. It's not a reward at all. What you're falling into is into the principles of life. These are the movers and shakers of what makes things work in life. I mean, for example, a farmer. You know, he can pray sincerely and earnestly and with the greatest effort, God, cause a crop to come out, up out there. But unless he goes out in that ground and puts that seed in, nothing's going to happen, right? Because there's a law called the law of sowing and reaping that's at work in this world. There's several laws like that. And what God's doing is saying, folks, get involved in my law, which is my word, and things will automatically happen in your life because you are moving in the flow of God. It's not a reward for being a good guy and reading my word. It's that you're putting yourself in a position to receive what I've wanted to give you all the time. And see, if we don't get in that word and put this word into practice in our lives, you know, we're not going to resemble much different than the other unbelievers, except when we die and go to heaven and they go to hell. I mean, you know, but during our lives, we're going to be pretty much going through the same old stuff because we had this all the time and we never applied it. You see what I'm saying here? Now, I had some more things to say tonight, but maybe we've, you know, gone on long enough. Maybe we can continue here next week. I don't want to go too long. But tonight, this week, why don't you read, if you would, James chapter 1, verses 23 to 25. And what it's the same thing. The Holy Spirit tells us believers now, we've seen what God told Joshua to do. We've seen what Jesus told His disciples to do. Now, the Holy Spirit tells us believers to do something. And it's all the same thing. Did you notice the same thing that God told Joshua, get in my word, find out what it says, do it. It's the same thing that Jesus said to be a success. He says, get in my word, find out what it says, do it. That's what Jesus said to His disciples. You know, James says the same thing to believers. He says, be not deceived. He says, you know, he goes on to say this, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. It's so sad when people deceive their own selves, fool their own selves, because they think they're going to get something and they're not. He says, don't be just a hearer of the word. I mean, yeah, hearer of the word, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. He says, for a man that is a hearer of the word and not a doer is like a man who goes and looks at himself in the mirror. And temporarily, as he's looking in the mirror, he sees a perfect reflection of where he is in life and what he is right now. That's what he's saying. That's what God's trying to do through His Word. You open up His Word and it's a mirror. It shows you your life. It shows you things to correct. It shows you how to succeed. It shows you things to do to be successful. And then he says, unfortunately, he goes away, forgets what he saw, and doesn't receive the blessing I wanted to give him all the time. And then he ends it on a positive note. He says, but he that hears my word and does it, then he says this man or this woman shall be blessed in what they do. That's verse 25. Can it get any clearer? I'm just asking, could God make it any clearer what it takes to be a success in life, to fulfill God's perfect will for your life? He says, get into the word, open it up, and I promise you it will be a mirror. It will show you what to do. Then when you do it, you will be blessed in what you do. That's what God says there. It doesn't take a theologian to interpret this for us. It doesn't take all the getting together to discuss it. It's so simple. And that's, you know, the things of God that really impact our lives are so simple. If it gets too complicated, I question whether it's God, to be honest with you. Because God, when Jesus spoke to people, He spoke of simple things. He spoke of grain. He spoke of of sowing and reaping and shepherds and sheep and stuff people understood. And all God's saying here is, look, you know, I've given you this for a reason. Learn to do what it says. When I show you, and when this mirror reflects back your life, then do what it says. I promise you, God says. This is the way I read it. Do you read it this way? I promise you that you'll be blessed in what you do. Now, when I see that, I think, that's it. That's the mission. You know, if you're in the military, they said, here's the mission. This is what we're trying to do tonight. You know, before you can do anything successful in life, you got to know what you're trying to do. Now, to me, the mission in life is to be a success, is to fulfill God's will for my life. To do that, it's impossible without knowing what God's will is for my life. How do I find out what God's will for my life is? Right here. This is what it is. In every situation in life, the answer is right here. And so I'll just say this, that so many struggle in the eddies of life, God told me this morning, when they could be drifting in the flow of God. And folks, this is how you do it. I'm not trying to come in like I know everything. I don't. But this is one thing I do know. I know that God's word works. It's the most exciting, wonderful thing that I know of. To have a book written by God himself that tells Mike and Mary Ann Fitzpatrick exactly how to approach every situation that comes up in our lives and come out of it successfully. Doesn't mean there won't be trials, but at least I'll know the outcome of this trial. When it gets to the end, we will be a success because God won't let us go under if we'll do it his way. Okay? So that's really enough for tonight. All right, here we go. First question. God told Joshua that if he would just meditate in his word, he would prosper. Is that true or false? False. Why is it false, class? Yes. You're wise to me, aren't you? It sounds good on the surface, doesn't it? God said if we'll just meditate in his word, we'll prosper. He didn't say that. He said, if you meditate in my word and then observe to do what's written therein, then you shall prosper. You see? You got to do both. Does everybody understand that question? All right. False. Good. Number two, God listened to Joshua, and when God did what he said, the wall fell down. True or false? Huh? Right. You'd be surprised, Helen, how many I get on that sometimes. Just reverse it, you know? People that are doing this in the car on the way here, you know me, don't you? She knows me too well. And I get the ones that did it in the car real quick. Right, that's false because Joshua listened to God, didn't he? Okay. Number three, there were two ways for the walls to fall down. One way takes a lot of work and many deaths, while the other way requires listening to God and doing what he says. True or false? True. I mean, really, Joshua had his... I know. I hate doing that. They say I'm too tricky sometimes, so really, it makes everybody silent. They're afraid that I got a trick in there. But, yeah, I'm a softie. You know, all you have to do is say, wait a minute, I think, and I go, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, right. You know, this is really... a lot like our lives. We're going to find out that in our lives there's usually two ways to do something. There's the way most of the world does something, and there's God's way. Now, the world would have said, well, you need the walls down, we'll charge it, we're going to lose a lot of people, it's going to take a lot of work, but we'll get the walls down eventually, maybe. But there's another way, usually. And the way in the Word of God was a little different. Marching around the walls, blowing the ram's horn, blowing the trumpet, doesn't make a lot of sense, but it works. And you know what? I'm interested in what works. And God's word always works. So that's true. True or false? God gave Joshua such detailed instructions involving many days of marching around the walls and blowing of the ram's horn and then the shout because God didn't know any other way to get the walls to fall down. True or false? False. Surely there were other ways that God could have said. You're right. That's false. But why do you think God went to such elaborate means to cause the walls to fall down? This is a one you write your answers to. Yes, Matt. He could what?
I think he did it to
confuse the people
that was in the city.
Well, I'm sure that confused them. Well, that might, you know, I'm sure it confused him, seeing all these people marching around for 6 days, and then marching around seven times on the seventh day. So, you know, that might have been one reason. Anybody got any other ideas on why he might have done this? Right. 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 For we walk by what and not by what? Do you remember that scripture, anybody? We walk by and not by sight. See, that's what God was doing. He was training them to walk by faith in what he said rather than what seemed reasonable. What God says isn't always reasonable to our senses. See, our senses don't always, you know, it doesn't make a lot of sense that if you need finances, go out and give something away. Right. His word is true. Exactly. That's why you need to get in his word, because his word will show you what to do. And after a while, it doesn't happen overnight, but a wonderful thing happens. You begin to get your mind renewed into the way God thinks, and you begin to start to think like God. That's what it means to get your mind renewed. Romans 12:2 says, "Be not conformed by this world, but be ye transformed." How? By the renewing of your mind. See, God doesn't want us to be conformed to this world. The world's way would have been charge those walls and just do the very best you can and knock on them and beat on them until they fell down or you got killed, one of the two. But if you get your mind renewed to the Word of God, you begin to start to think like this Bible thinks, you know, and you begin to train yourself that when the emergencies of life come up, you think like this: what does the Word say? What should I do here? What does the Word say? See, that's getting your mind renewed to the Word of God. Because when we're born again, our spirits are born again, but our mind isn't born again, and our body's not born again. We've got to deal with our flesh, and we need to get our mind renewed to the Word of God. And then when you get your mind renewed to the Word of God, it will side in with your spirit and overrule your body. And so that's what God was trying to do, just like Norma said. He was trying to get them to start thinking his thoughts and his ways and not be so concerned about how they would do it. Trust him that he had the best idea. And sometimes when you do it God's way, you're going to have to step out there in faith, because it's not going to make a lot of sense to a lot of your friends, or at least to the world. Yes, Nikki?
Ultimately, God wants glory from us. And if he would have said, you know, take your sword and go in there, and they could have...
Yeah.
Even the other side could have said, well, they were just stronger than us.
Right. Right. That's a good point. Just like the Red Sea, you know. I mean, that was pretty dramatic, you know. Nobody's going to, I mean, maybe you can swim a little faster than those Egyptians, but boy, you walk through on dry ground. That's pretty special, you know. Yeah, that's a good point. Thank you. All right, here's the next one. From Luke 6:46 to 49, we learn that bad things come to us all. But the one who hears God's word will triumph over adversity, while the one who doesn't hear it will be overcome. True or false? Why is it false? Why, Matt?
Because in all the scriptures, yeah.
What's this? Ah. Okay. So... it's false, you're saying that, is that right? It's false because the one who hears God's word will triumph over adversity doesn't include the doing part. Is that what you're saying? Right. See. You know, if you read that fast, it sounds pretty good, but see, what was the difference between the two guys? They both heard the word. They were both going to church all the time. They were both going to Bible studies. They were both going to faith conferences. But one of them did what he heard. Okay? That's the key. I mean, I know people who've been Christians for 20 years, and they go to all kinds of conferences, they fly around, they go to Bible seminars, they do all these things, but you know what, in their lives, I don't see a lot of victory. I see defeat and things like that, and you know, I think it's because, I'm not trying to judge anybody else, but they don't put into practice. They listen to it, and they can quote scriptures, but folks, the bottom line is doing what that Bible says. That's it, and that's the whole point of our lesson. Okay. What does the Lord mean to you? Write that down. What does Lord mean? And this reason I'm asking this question, because remember, in verse 46, Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord? Do not do the things which I say." And then he went on to talk about the two guys that built their houses, so one on sand and one on the rock, because one heard the word, did it, one just heard it. What does it mean? What does he mean when he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord?" What does Lord mean? If someone's your Lord, what does that mean? It's your master. It's good. It's really the one who has authority and permission to tell us what to do. When you got saved, basically when you confessed Jesus as your Lord, you gave him the authority and permission to come into your life and say, "Mike, Stan, Matt, Helen, do it this way." You know, otherwise, you know, God is a gentleman. He doesn't just come in and knock things down and start knocking furniture over and taking charge of your life and doing things. He waits for us to open the door to him. And so Lord means that we gave him permission. Now, when we confessed him as Lord at the new birth, he is our Lord. But we actually can do something in our own lives to really make him Lord. And that's what we're talking about here, really, is becoming a doer of the word. When you do what his word says, you are making him Lord in a very practical fashion in your life. Okay, you're saying, "God, I'm trusting you. It doesn't make a lot of sense in this situation. Things are a mess right now, but your word says right now to do it this way. That's what I'm going to do, and I trust you to get me out of this." That's making Jesus Lord. Okay. The word in the book of James tells us to be hearers of the word and not doers only. True or false? Why is that false? Right. I was being tricky again, wasn't I? It says to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Not hearers of the word and not doers only. Good. You're good, Norma. You pick that up. Were you a proofreader sometime in your life or something like that? No? She's been in a few classes. She's wise to me. Did I, honey? Oh, what does Luke 6:46 to 49 have in common with Joshua and the walls? What do those two accounts have in common about the man that built his house on the sand and the rock and Joshua and the walls? Anybody? Well, that's true. But what was the main thing that caused them both both people to succeed? They listened to the Lord. That's half of it.
And they acted on it.
And they acted on it. Attaway. That's right. See, in both cases, we're getting this in our heads. It takes a while, but in both cases, they did. See, it wouldn't have done Joshua any good to think, boy, that's an interesting concept here. March around the thing and then just sit back and wait for the walls to fall down. No, he had to actually do something, didn't he? And that's the way in our lives, too. You know, so many times, I've thought about this. It's like a checkers game. Two people are sitting at the board, and each one thinks that the other guy's move, and it just time goes by, and they're all thinking, why doesn't that guy move? And that's what we do with God sometimes. We think it's God's move, and he's waiting us to do his word. And we're waiting on the finances to come in. We're waiting on our kids to get out of the mess they're in. We're waiting on whatever. And he's saying, when are you going to do what my word says in this area? Because, see, the word of God covers all the areas of our lives. For example, if we're worrying about something, you know, we haven't done the word in that area. Did you know that worry is against God's word? God says, be anxious for nothing. That sounds hard, but God is not going to ask us to do anything that's impossible. Or he'd be an unjust God if he did. But then he tells us how to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Then the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So every aspect of life has a piece of the Word of God that covers it. That's the thing that we have to train ourselves to apply God's Word. Okay. The Bible also says that when we look in our mirror, which is the Word, it will show us things about ourselves. Is that true? Or false? Now I quoted this scripture last week. It's in James chapter 1. We're going to talk about that some more tonight. Is the mirror, first of all, is the Word of God the mirror?
No.
It's not?
No.
It's not. I thought it was.
It was.
Isn't that what it means in James chapter 1? It says, be ye hearers, doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For it's a person that hears the Word and doesn't do it. It's like a man that looks at his face in a mirror, sees what manner of man he is, and then goes away and forgets what he saw. I'm not trying to make you wrong, but I'm just trying to say, see what he's saying there. When we look at the Word of God, God tries to reveal something about ourselves in our lives to us a lot of times, okay? Maybe we'll read that tonight, and I think it'll be clear. The Word actually does show you things about yourself, okay? A mirror, though, doesn't usually show the face of others, mostly just us. Is that true or false? Madge, when you look in the mirror, do you mostly see your face or somebody else's? Yeah, that'd be scary, wouldn't it?
That was kind of tricky, because haven't you ever been standing in the mirror, looking at yourself in the mirror, and somebody standing next to you, you can see their face.
I said mostly just us. Most of the time, that's...
Well, most of that's right, so that would be true.
That is true. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't mean it to imply that it was false. The point is that I've had this problem myself. You read the Bible sometimes and you go, boy, that's right, that sounds just like so-and-so, and if they would just straighten up in this area, they'd sure be a lot better Christian. You ever done that, reading the Bible? I have. A lot of times. I'll see people in there, but I'm not supposed to be doing that, really. It's supposed to be a mirror. I'm supposed to be primarily seeing me in there. You know, if I'm so worried about everybody else and what they're doing, you know, it's not really that fruitful in my life. It just gets me upset or whatever. So my point here is, the mirror usually just shows. When we read the Word of God, be careful if every time you read it, you're just seeing somebody else's mistakes and not your own. Okay, that's all I'm saying. Yeah, that's right. But see, I'll tell you a practical example. When I first got saved, I read in the Word of God that says, wives, submit to your husbands. Okay? And I read the part that says, husbands, love your wives. Well, when I would read the part that says, wives, submit to your husbands, I start thinking about Mary Ann in areas where I didn't think she might be in submission to me. See, that wasn't using it as a mirror, was it? I was seeing Mary Ann there instead of me. And one day the Lord dealt with me. And he said, did you notice that scripture starts off, wives? It starts off just like that. Wives, submit yourself to your husband. Husbands, love your wives. And the Lord said this. He says, when you see a verse start off wives, that's for wives. That makes sense, doesn't it? When you see one start off with husbands, that's for husbands. You can leave the one that says wives. You don't have to worry about that one. That's up to her to do that. That's not up to you to enforce that. It's not up to you to go to her and say, honey, you know, I've been noticing lately, you don't seem very submissive to me. You love her. You take care of her. You treat her as you want to be treated, and then I'll take care of her. So, it was a lesson learned. Many, many lessons we had to learn, didn't we, honey? Still learning. It's an adventure every day. All right. That's what she said. Boy, that's good. That's exactly what she said, too, and that's a very good point. She says, you know, you make it easy now. Good, thank you. That's great. Who wouldn't? Okay. If we look into the Word, it will tell us what to do in life situations, true or false? True. Because it's that mirror. If we will just listen to what it says, we will be blessed in what we do. True or false? Good. Who said false? Stan said false. Stan, you can tell us why you said false. Good. That's not all, but... Okay. Just...
Mm-hmm. So that could have been the do right there.
Oh, you got a point there.
False, but
I understand what you're saying.
He could be doing that.
All right, I'll accept. Alex. Okay, but you got a good point. So we'll be blessed in what we do. That's good. I see what you mean. All right. Okay, God's way is the Word's way. Is that true or false? That is the Word's way. God wrote the Word of God, so that is His way. God is the Word. Jesus is the Word.
See, I thought that was kind of tricky.
You did.
Because I put false, but I also put the Word is God's way.
Oh, that's what I meant to say. Maybe that'd been a better way to say it. That's what I was trying to say.
The Word is God's way.
Yeah.
I just thought it was...
Okay, the way it was worded there, yeah.
But, you know,
Kevin Danielle say.
No, I mean...
Danielle say.
Huh?
Yeah, I heard Danielle.
Here, so we're like, which one is...
See, that's my reputation, unfortunately. But... I'm not trying to be tricky, really. I'm just trying to... You know, I find myself putting all true things. I write down... See, what I do is I go over the verses that we've studied, and then I try to make it some sort of a true or false statement out of it. And so usually they all start coming out true, because that's what the Scripture said. Now, wait a minute. I can't make them all true. So I go back and I'll take out a key word or something like that, or try to, or, you know, reverse it somehow. But I wasn't trying to be tricky on that one. I just meant that, you know, God's way of doing things is the same as the Word's way of doing them. They're the same, that's all I meant. But I should have worded it a little different, probably. So you give yourself credit for that one, Stan.
I think so.
Yeah. Half the class missed Joshua and the whale. They said, oh yeah. I said, in the story of Joshua and the whale, this happened. They just read it real fast. Sure, Joshua and the whale, right? Jonah. All right, one more question. It's a whale of a story.
They rammed it with a whale.
That's what happened. All right. Jesus is called the Word of God because what He did perfectly reflected His Father's will. True or false? True. It's true. That's why He is the Word of God, because He was the Word of His Father in action in all that He did.